Well, this evening we're going to be looking at the little phrase, hold fast and don't let go. Hold fast and don't let go. And so as we're considering that eventuality, I want to give you an illustration again. My dad and I, my younger brother, I have a brother that's 11 years younger than I. We went fishing one time, and we were fishing right close to the spillway. That seems to be where a lot of the fish congregated, where the spillway was, so we went over the dam. And it wasn't a large dam. It isn't like the Hoover Dam or anything. It was probably, maybe an 8-foot drop if you went over the spillway and so on. But my little brother, nobody could ever teach him anything. And he kept getting real close there, and I'd say, Mark, stay away from there. Dad, Mark's getting close to the... Mark, you're going to fall in and drown. Well, I was nervous about those kind of things, and sure enough, Mark fell in. And all I could think of was Mark drowning or going over the spillway. And so I dove in after him, and I had some lifeguard training, but you know, trying to rescue somebody who's all frustrated, it's not uncommon for two people to drown trying to rescue one person. Well, anyway, he was just kicking and flailing around there, and my dad saw what was happening too, but I finally just grabbed a hold of my brother down close to the legs because I got tired of getting kicked in the face. I was under the water, and then with all my might gave a kick and held tight and pushed him up, and then as my dad was pulling, I heard him yell to my brother, hold fast and don't let go. And he pulled my brother out by the arm, and then I could have gotten out by myself, but I was pretty tired after that. And I started swimming back over there. My dad grabbed me and pulled me up. You know, there's things that we need to hold fast of and don't let go. And that's what we're going to be talking about. There are several phrases in the New Testament that are translated hold fast. There's actually three Greek words that are translated hold fast, and one of them means to keep firm possession of. Keep firm possession of. There is one little thing that I'm always looking for. And that's this little teeny Swiss Army knife. I like to keep, I'm from the old school. I don't like it when I have to not carry this through the airport line, but I have found out through the years that carrying a pocket knife, but this is more than a pocket knife. This has little scissors on it, and it has a screwdriver on it, and it has a pair of tweezers on it, and it has a toothpick on it, and then it has two blades on it. And it has a fingernail file on it, and it has an orange peeler on it. Look at that. So if ever I get stranded, I can always peel an orange. Now, I don't know where the orange would come from, but I want to hold fast to that. That's the first thing I look for in the morning after I get my pants on, because I want it to go in my pocket. It's the first thing I take out at night. And it's very hard for me not to want to have that thing with me. In fact, sometimes I just... went to fly, and if they take them away, they don't give them back to you. And so I'm coming up, and then I reached into my pocket because I had to pull out change to put in there, and there is this little Swiss Army knife. I thought, oh man, I should have checked my pocket. Well, a little prayer. I took this little Swiss Army knife, and there's a potted plant in Mitchell International Airport. There's a potted plant in Mitchell International Airport, and around the potted plant they have a lot of that, what is that, Spanish moss, I believe. So I took this baby and I put it up as close to the trunk as I could get it on the backside. You know, I was hoping they didn't water the plant too often, but it is stainless steel and so on. And so, and I put Spanish moss around it and walked onto the plane and saying, "Lord, protect my little stupid little knife." And I know, but you know, God's even concerned about little stupid things. You can talk to God about that, because who else are to talk to? So anyway, got on the plane, and then after we came back from our trip, the first thing that I did when I got through there is run over to there, and I'm sure people thought I was nuts, because I had my carry-on, I set it down, and I'm digging in this plant, and this is it. It was there. Hold fast, and don't let go. There is a keep firm possession of. That's one of the Greek words. And not that it makes any difference to you, but that's katecho. And then there is just the word echo, which means to hold fast in your hand or in your mind. There's some things that you should hold fast in your mind. And we'll be talking about it in a little bit, but one of the things that I like to do and get my children to do when they were growing up is Lynn and I would share our testimonies of how we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the change, because we wanted to hold that fast in our minds. And then there is a third word, and it means to seize and to take hold of. And that's a different, that's a more aggressive word. So those are three words that we'll be using. Basically, each of the words carries with it the idea of holding fast and not letting go. And the context determines whether it's holding it fast with your hand or whether it's holding that fast with your mind. The first thing that I'd like you to look at with me this evening is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 21, it's just a little verse. It says, "Prove all things." And then there's a semicolon there. "Hold fast to that which is good." Hold fast to that which is good. The word translated "prove" means to put it to the test, to examine it carefully. We're to examine things carefully. And how are we to examine things carefully? We are to examine things carefully, first of all, with our practical sensibilities. But then, most importantly of all, we're supposed to line it up or test it or approve it by the Word of God. Whether it be a relationship, whether it be a friendship, whether it's something that we read, whether it's an emotion, whether it's an action, we're to prove it by this. And so we're tested by God's Word. And we don't need to tell you, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says all things are given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So after you have tested things that come your way, we are to hold fast to that which is good. The word "hold fast" here is the word katecho, which means to have a firm possession of. And so there are certain things that we are to hold fast to. Now, we'll look at some of those in just a moment. But what do you do with the things that aren't good? I mean, you're to hold on to it. Is not it a constant sorting process in life to hold on to the good and then get rid of the things that aren't good? Get rid of the things that aren't going to build you up. Get rid of the things that aren't going to be helpful in your life. You should be sorting all the time by the Scriptures. Things that weigh you down, things that pull you away from the Lord, you ought to get rid of. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. That's without falsehood. But then it says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And the word cleave means to be glued to that which is good. Well, I got a good thing that I've been holding on to for 30 plus years now. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. In Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 22, it says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. You know, those of you who are married, hang on to your spouse. That's a good thing. Good friends. I mean, good friends, and I'm talking about good friends that are an encouragement to you and that help you to stand for God, that encourage you to live for the Lord. If you've got any of those kind of friends, hang on to those kinds of friends. And you know, sometimes if you have a real good friend, if you have a biblical friend isn't always a yes man. You know what a yes man is? You know, a yes man's always agreeing with you. A good friend is the kind of a friend who will agree with you when you're right, and he'll point out to you the error when you're wrong. Not to embarrass you, not to undermine you, not to necessarily make you feel bad, but iron sharpens iron, friends. You take an iron file to sharpen an iron axe. And friends, good friends, need to be like that. And I know that I'm speaking to the choir, but when you find a good church, hang on to that and be involved in that. And just don't expect George to do it. As far as I know, we don't have any Georges who are members of the church, so nothing's going to get done. So it's going to rely upon you. It's going to rely upon me. But, you know, one of the things you do need to be concerned about, and sometimes people don't think about this until it's too late. You know, if you decide that you're going to move to some place, you need to make sure that there is a good church there for you to go to if you're going to move someplace. Because I've seen lives of people go spiritually shipwrecked because they move away and church is too far and they don't want to make the drive and ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. And you know what happens to their spiritual life? Tanks. So hold on to the good things. Grasp hold of those things and don't let go of them. Why? Because a good mate, because a good friend, because a good church will bring stability into your life. Amen? We need to remember those things. Now, number two, hold on to sound biblical doctrine. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. In 2 Timothy, and when we're talking about holding on here, we're talking about holding on mentally. You see the context. The context sets that in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 13. It says, hold fast that form of sound doctrine which thou hast heard of me. It says, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So hold fast that form of sound doctrine which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ. Hold fast here is the Greek word echo, which means to hold firmly. And in this case, it means hold firmly what you believe in your mind. Now, what is to be held in your mind? Well, look at that little word form. It says, hold fast the form of sound doctrine. That's the pattern. The form there means pattern. It means the outline. The sound words refer to the Christian doctrines or truths that they had been taught. You know, Paul said to Timothy that He was schooled in sound doctrine that was able to make him wise unto salvation. You know, it's very interesting, teaching little children. You need to start teaching little children biblical truths very early in their lives, even before they can talk to you. How do you do that? Well, you do that by talking to them and do like Lynn and I did. We rehearsed what salvation was and how we got saved and what their need of salvation was. And then we taught them songs. And then as soon as they could, we got them started memorizing Bible verses. Today, there's a great movement against what is called rote memory. You know, they don't want people to have to memorize things. You know what? I found that in my life, the things that I've learned by rote memory, even at my young age of 56 years old, still come in handy because I don't always have a calculator with me. You know what? I had to learn all of the multiplication tables from 1 to 12. I had to remember that, memorize that. And I was tested on that. And people today say, "Oh, what use is that?" Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a lot of use to me. Wait just a minute. I can't tell you what 12 times 12 is. I got to go get my calculator. No, you just tell them it's 144. No, I was going to tell you 142 just to see how many of you had memorized it too and see if there was any kind of response. But anyway, rote memory could be good. Now, it's not talking about that, but it's talking about the doctrinal outline. Timothy was told to hold firm to the doctrines that he had been taught, the outline that he'd been taught by the Apostle Paul. He was not to let go of it. He was not to modify it. In fact, he was to teach it faithfully to other men. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2 it says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You know, I think it's very, very important for us to understand that sound doctrinal belief that you've studied through the Scripture gives you stability in your Christian life. So when some new doctrine comes along, you can say, "Aha! I remember Pastor Brown saying. I remember Pastor Darrell saying. I remember my former pastor saying." Now turn with me to Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Well, I got a little flyer again in the mail the other day, and it has some weird old doctrine in it. I did find it. I was going to show it to you, and then I promptly left it home this evening. But it has a printed prayer cloth in it. You're supposed to put it on you and then send them money. I don't exactly get the correlation. You know what? Not sound doctrine. And yet, you know, people who are hurting, and I'm sure it's a mass mailing of some sort or other. And if they don't understand and if they haven't studied and that they don't know the sound doctrine, they might fall prey to this kind of a thing. You tell me, did the disciples ever charge anybody to heal them? No, let me just tell you. They said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, take up your bed and walk, and send me $1,000. No, and what it says. Sound doctrine Sound doctrine keeps you stabilized through the stormy seas of life, friends. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." People have spent megabucks running hither and thither to this holy laughter movement. They get into the services and they're totally chaotic. They're barking like dogs and clucking like chickens and running around on all fours. And they're saying that's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Baloney. That's the manifestation of the unholy spirit, because God does all things decently in order. And if I start barking like a dog and clucking like a chicken and crawling around on all fours, it might be a spirit all right, but it's not going to be the Holy Spirit. And it's going to keep you stabilized in your life if you will hold fast to sound doctrine. And there's so many churches today. I fear for churches today because there are many, many churches today who say doctrine makes dead, doctrine kills. And so, now, certainly it has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you what, if you sit here on Wednesday evening and you go through the doctrines of man with Pastor Darrell, if you've kept those sermon notes on justification and regeneration and conversion and propitiation, people aren't going to get you off on some screwball idea, a new wacky idea on what biblical salvation is, because you're going to be able to know what it is, and that's going to be able to keep you stable through life. And that's why you need to consistently be able to teach your children the truths, the patterns of sound doctrine. Well, there's so many things that we can say, but I do want to look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. If you hold fast to sound doctrine, particularly as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation, you're not going to fall into the mistake that the Galatians did. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, let me get over here. It says, the Apostle Paul he's just amazed. He says, I marvel. I'm amazed, yeah, Paul writes. I'm amazed. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Friends, somebody's always adding something to the gospel or taking something away from the gospel, or they're twisting the gospel. That is as old as the devil. Paul says, Galatian Christians, listen, you're going down the wrong path. And he goes on in 7 and clarifies it, which is not another gospel, which is not another. It says, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert. The word pervert there is the Greek word that means to turn about, to reverse, to change the character of. That would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he says this, pretty strong words. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I find that a very interesting word. The word is anathema maranatha. Anathema means permanently condemned, and maranatha means he's coming. If somebody preaches a false gospel, may they be permanently condemned at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty strong words. Now, if that isn't enough, look at verse 9. He pounded the nail in with one good swat. But he wants to make sure it sticks there, and he whacks it again. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Oh, there's people running around here today, and I met with a couple years back. They got into this prosperity gospel movement and this name it, claim it stuff. Oh, friends, they dumped $10,000 into that. 10 grand, you know. Oh, and the guy promised them 100-fold, so they were, you know, boy, my. Multiply it, friends. That's what they were expecting in their mail. Or maybe it was going to come by Brink's truck. I don't know. Maybe the preacher was going to come over and give it to him. I don't know. I want to tell you, anytime they connect those things with the gospel, and then they tell lies to that same group, told lies to the people that says God or that Jesus Christ doesn't want anybody sick. Oh, that's why one of the disciples was left in Miletus sick, and that's why the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh that seems to be some physical thing. No. You see, when you know doctrine, when you know the gospel, you're not going to add works to salvation. And you're not going to presume on the other end of things that everybody is saved. You know, there's people who teach that everybody's going to be saved. God isn't so cruel that he's not going to send anybody to hell. Wait a minute. We're going to hell already. He saw our plight, and he threw us a ring in the person of Jesus Christ to rescue the perishing. And if we will hold fast to sound doctrine, we will not be deceived when these things come by. When the Mormons or the Jehovah Witnesses come knocking at your door. Personally, I don't have the time to let them in. I don't want to talk to them. I try and give them a gospel tract. If they exchange the literature, they'll say, well, we'll give you ours if we'll give you theirs. You know, we'll take yours if you give you ours. They probably do the same thing with mine that I do with theirs. I have a file right next to the throne. Another gospel, friends. Finally, I gotta get done with this. Number one, hold fast to good. Number two, hold fast to sound biblical doctrine. Number three, so important, hold fast to your testimony. Your testimony, once that it's lost, is very, very difficult to regain. I'm eternally grateful for the God's blessing to us, but can you imagine now trying to invite a friend to the Sheraton to come to your church? That church has pretty well collectively lost their testimony. Oh yeah, we're the church where eight people were shot to death. Seven people, how many ever it is. This is talking about personal testimony. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. There's many, many more. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Back to verse 3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour I will come upon thee. But hold fast your profession of faith." The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Good testimony is rather to be chosen than great riches as well. Do you have a good testimony? Are you holding on to what you believe? Well, it's very interesting. I was witnessing some time back, and a person claimed to be a Christian, and I asked them for a testimony. The question was, "What's a testimony?" I said, "Well, the time where you had an encounter with Christ and you turned from your sins and trusted Christ as your Savior." I don't remember when that was. Mom said it was when I was a little kid. I said, you don't know? No. Well, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Oh, yeah, it must have been sometime back there. Well, they didn't have a testimony to hold fast to. You can't hold fast to an illusion. You have to have one of your own. So when did you do business with God? Now, I'm not one who believes. I believe that you can, without ever uttering a word here of your mouth, you could receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in your head without opening your mouth. I believe that. But by the same token, if you search your head for a testimony and there's nothing in there except a few things that are rattling around, you probably don't have one. So how do you get one? Well, you can't order it from the Sears catalog. And you can't borrow a friend's. So how do you get one? Well, you come to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is literally, actually, and physically alive today. And He literally, physically, and actually sits in a real heaven at the right hand of God the Father. And He is waiting to hear from you if you don't have a testimony. Because we read His own words in John 14:6, where He said, "I am the way." He didn't say a way. He said the way, the truth, and the life. "And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." See, that's what so-called Easter, I call it resurrection, is all about. We sing that song, "Up from the grave He arose." And He did. And it wasn't some kind of just a wacky ghostly woo. No, He was literal, actual person. And we know that because He invited Thomas. He said, "Thomas, stick your hand in my side here. Thomas, reach out your finger and put it here." And you know what? That changed Thomas's life forever, because we don't record anything except I believe Thomas had the experience in here where he was not faithless anymore. He wasn't doubting Thomas anymore. He fell on his knees and said, "My Lord and my God." And that's where he's converted. That's his testimony. And you can have a testimony too if you don't have one. And the neat part about it is it isn't just something to say. When you put your faith and your confidence in the risen Lord Jesus Christ as your sin bearer, you are saved for all of eternity, and you will have an eternal home in heaven with our Lord. And I'll tell you what, I'm holding fast my profession. Not that I need to, because He's the one that holds me. But we are to hold fast. Why hold fast? I think that holding fast to that profession, again, gives us stability in the difficult times of life. You need a rock. The Lord's my rock, in Him we hide a what? Shelter in the time of storm. So friends, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'd urge you to do so this evening. But probably in the evening service, the most of you do have a testimony. But I want you to hold fast on some things. Hold fast to that which is good. I want you to hold fast to sound doctrine, because that'll give you stability in life, just like holding fast to good friends, a good church, and a good spouse will give stability in your life. And then you need to hold fast to your profession, to your testimony, to your faith without wavering, because that is going to be your shelter in the time of storm. And if you don't have a testimony, now is your opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior.